D.C., we have Michelle W.
I'm Michelle Nominati. My clean date is July 12, 2004. I wasn't nervous at first when I got down here. I was excited to be clean and to make another trip to Ocean City for this convention. And the topic is hurt people hurt people. And when I was threatened about a month or so ago to do the workshop in Ocean City, I started to do some research, you know, for knowledge for myself. You know, what does this topic really mean? You know, so I found this little quote. And it states, hurt people hurt people. Abusive patterns get passed on generation after generation, but the chain can't be broken. Meet anger with sympathy. Meet contempt with compassion. Meet cruelty with kindness. Meet grimaces with smiles. When you forget about the fault, there is nothing to forgive. Love is the weapon of our future. So then I thought about all the hurt that I've been through. You know, I was a kid, I grew up in the projects, and I had fun with other kids in projects, you know. But my mom was an addict too, you know. And I remember going to school every day, you know, and I could confide in the teachers. I could talk to them, you know. That was my support back then. You know, I was raped as a young child. I was molested after that. And then I was raped again. And this was because of the company that my mother kept and the different walks of life that came through our house. You know, I remember going to court and, you know, the guy being arrested and, you know, him going to jail. And me and his sister was best friends. Our birthdays were the same day. And I'm like, how could he do that to me? You know, and I never had the answer. So I started hating my mother. I started hating God because I didn't know how she could allow people to come into our household and abuse me. I didn't know how God could let these things happen to me. I'm a kid. I'm supposed to play. I'm supposed to get dirty. I'm supposed to fight other kids. I'm supposed to, you know, be a kid. But that wasn't how my life was. So because of all that abuse, and I had so much hatred within me, you know, I didn't smile. I fought all the time. I didn't want to grow up to be a drug addict, you know. The teachers would ask us in school, what did you want to be when you grew up? Well, I said, I wanted to be a nurse, you know. And in my addiction, my mom got stabbed from somebody trying to rob her, and I just changed her bandage and I fell out because I was doing nursing stuff, you know. I went to Martha Washington and all that. And then I changed the bandage on her arm, and I'm like, I don't think I want to be a nurse, you know. So I'm an adult. I was an adult at that time. So that wasn't for me. But I know throughout my life, I was a people pleaser, you know. In my addiction, I was a people pleaser. And it wasn't until I got clean in 2004 that I had to learn a whole lot of stuff, like how to be a parent, because I didn't want my kids to hate me the way that I hated my mother. I had to learn how to live life because I didn't know anything about it. It was just so full of abuse and it was chaos. Then I abused myself and I abused other people and then I abused my children. So I had to learn everything all over again, you know. And I wanted to be, I wanted to be perfect, you know. And I remember being in treatment and one of the counselors told me that, Michelle, you're not perfect. You're never going to be perfect, you know. She said that will hinder you in the long run, you know. And she was right. When I got clean, I wanted to buy my children's love because I neglected them. Because when I got a welfare check and I got food stamps, I gave all that to the dope boys. You know, so I had to go out here and I had to shoplift for clothes. I had to shoplift for groceries. I turned tricks with my stepfather because he was the one who molested me. And I knew that I could get more than $10 from him, you know, than tricking with somebody on the street. You know, I could manipulate and lie because I was homeless already at this point. You know, I had lost two apartments. And, you know, I was trying to get everything back, you know. So I would tell him that, you know, the lady that I'm staying with right now, she's going to put me out if I don't give her $250. Or if I ain't give her $130 for the light bill, she's going to put me out, you know. Then where am I going to go? You know, so I knew I could get more money, so that's what I did. But in the end, I felt so bad. I felt so degraded. I was so full of shame and so full of guilt, you know, that I was living my life the way that I was living it, you know. But then I went back to that thing of thinking I was perfect because in my addiction, I didn't let my daughters get raped. I didn't let my daughters get molested, you know. It was hard, but I used, and I continue to use. You know, I started at 26, and I ended at 36, and today I just thank God that he saw fit and he loved me enough to save my life. You know, when I went into treatment, I was ready because I had realized at the end that I wasn't getting high anymore. I was just using. And I was still homeless. I was still staying with somebody. They were still talking about me. You know, my daughter had went to school one time in June and it was like 102 degrees and I had been up getting high all night. I hit my bottom in Washington, D.C. at Geraldine Apartments. And my daughter went to school and I saw her leave, but you know, I had been up for some days so I had to get some sleep. And when she came home from school, she was the reddest color I ever seen. She had wore this wool sweater to school because the dirty clothes was piled up this high, you know. And every time I got money to do the laundry, I used with that money. So that meant that, okay, I fulfilled what I wanted to fulfill for me. So I had to go steal her some clean clothes, you know. But that broke my heart that my daughter went to school with this wool sweater on. It was like 102 degrees and she had the sleeves rolled up. And I'm like, did anybody say anything about you? You know? And she was like, no, nobody bothered me. And I just felt so bad. I felt like the worst person. You know, how could you bear these children and you treat them like that? You know? But like I said, I was ready to get clean. You know, I went away to treatment. I had a son in my addiction, and I used every day that I carried him. And I remember going into treatment, they got the kids evaluated, and my son was evaluated. He was bad as shit. You know, he was just always doing stuff, and then he was always crying, you know. And I went to the doctor twice. I found out I was pregnant, and when I delivered. All in between there, I used, you know. So he got this evaluation, and they said there's a possibility that he's going to have ADHD and a learning disability. And I'm like, damn. Okay, I'm in treatment now, and it should get better. It should. I didn't know if it would, but it should get better, you know. Because when I got there, I was like, you know, I'm just going to do what these people tell me to do because I don't have nowhere to go. I don't have a place of residence. You know, I'm homeless. You know, I want to stop using drugs, but I don't know how to stop using drugs. So just listen to what the people tell you to do. So that's what I did. And I didn't see that things were getting better, but they did get better. You know, and I used to go to meetings early on, and every time I left the meeting, I wanted to get high. You know, but I didn't get high, but I did have a reservation that, okay, once I get out of this treatment place and I get a roof over my head that, you know, I could use successfully. Okay, the reservation went away, you know. After some work, the reservation went away, because when I first got here and you told me to get a sponsor and go to some meetings and I had to do some set work and I had to do this and I had to do that, that wasn't what I came here for. You know, what I came here for was not to use drugs. And then I used to see a relative of mine and they said, you know, change you must or die you will. And I'm like, why you always say that shit to me? You know. And I guess he saw the reservation, you know, that, you know, I'm going to go back out there, you know. But I got tired of hearing that. So my second convention, I had about a year and some months. Maybe about a year and 7 months. And I was in a workshop here, and the topic was, are you in recovery or are you just staying clean? So I had this emotional breakdown, and that's when I realized that, and not because of all my doing, but, you know, the light came on. You know, I had to do something different. I had to change, you know, because I got tired of hurting myself. I didn't really get tired of hurting other people, because when I was using, I didn't realize I was hurting them anyway. You know, it wasn't until I did some step work and did some work on me that I knew, because I didn't know who I was. I just know that I've been raped, I've been molested, I've been abused, I've been punished a whole lot of times as a kid, could never go outside, everybody else is outside, we're not outside, we stuck in the house, you know. And life was just hard. I ran away from home, you know, to stay with different relatives as a teenager, you know, it was hard. I just want to say this. It's funny how God works. The second speaker is my stepmother. This is my stepmother. And when I was going through all that running away from home and hurting and trying to smoke marijuana, she was there to guide me. She was there to help me. You know? She let me stay at her house. But you know, when things don't go the way you wanted to go, then you're ready to leave. You know, I can always go back home to all that bullshit, you know. But I will come back, you know. This is an awesome program. If you knew, give yourself a chance. Everything is not going to get better overnight. It's not going to get better the next day. It might not get better the next moment, you know. And I still struggle today. I have a daughter. She doesn't give me respect because I'm not doing what she wants me to do, you know. Just a few days before I got here, I think it was Tuesday night, I got here Thursday. Tuesday night, she states that, haven't I done enough recovery? Haven't I been to enough people's anniversaries? And haven't I had enough of all that? You know, you go out there for those recovering people, but I'm telling you I need help and you won't help me, you know. And I felt some kind of way, you know, because if I was using today, I wouldn't help your ass anyway. I wouldn't help you anyway, you know. And early on, I tried to buy their love and their kindness and everything, buying them everything they want, because I had a job now and I wasn't working a job. Earlier, I worked a job, I drew unemployment, I drew the food stamps and the check and the Medicaid. I did all that, right? So I had a lot of money. I bought them all the little name brand stuff they wanted. But today I'm not doing that, you know. I'm not people pleasing the kids. I'm not people pleasing the people at NA. Whatever friends or associates I have, I'm not doing it, you know. It's about saving my life, you know. So, you know, I listen to her still, you know, she has a baby, and I've given her a lot of suggestions. You know, people told me that I had to relinquish control. I can't control her life, you know, because I tried that too. It ain't work. She cussed me out, hang up on me, you know, all that, you know. But like I said, she doesn't respect me, so she can no longer stay in my house. Because I let you and the baby stay. You wanted this baby. Now, you know, the road getting a little rough, you know, and I give you some suggestions. That's all I could do. But it's up to you whether you want to use them or not. But don't blame me. You know, I love her. I love my grandchild. But then when I pray, the same God that brought me through my storm, that he got his hands around her, he going to bring her through. You know, I'm tired of being in the shelter. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of doing that. Well, I've been in the damn shelter, too. You know, and the thing is that you're running from structure. See, I couldn't run from structure because I ain't had nowhere to go. You know, and you know, and I tell her, you're not strung out how I was, you know, but you chose this life for yourself, you know. So I just been heavily thinking that, you know, I need to get my grandbaby from this girl, you know. I think she's a little suicidal myself, you know, because she need to work on her emotions and stuff like that and seek some other help. I mean, I had to do all that too. You know, I remember going to mental health and I was using with some people, and they said, well, you go down there and you tell them this, and you tell them you feel like killing yourself, and you feel like doing this, and you feel like doing that. So when I got down there and I talked to the people, they ain't give me no Section 8 voucher. They ain't give me no more money on the check, no more food stamps. They gave me a bag of medication and a little card that said, this is your next visit. You know, so eventually I stuck to that, you know, seeking other help, and I got a lot of help, you know, because I was still carrying all that stuff, you know, and I didn't know what to do with it, so I just continued to carry it, you know. So that meant that when I'm angry, I'm going to spit on you, I'm going to fight you, I'm going to talk about you, I'm going to threaten you, and dare one of you to do anything. You know, but today I don't live like that. You know, I had to learn how to love myself so that I could love and care and have some sympathy for other people. You know, and it's not an easy process. You know, so my prayer every day is to ask God to guide my mind, my mouth, and my body. Because I could be real mean, but that's not who I want to be. You know, this is the best that I've ever lived. Because I know right from wrong. You know, I don't have to go up in the store and steal shoes and clothes and groceries no more. You know, when I got here, I stole all the watches I could. Yeah. And had money in my pocket. But that's what I did. You know. This is an honor to be up here speaking at this convention and this workshop. Thank you. Thank you. When I first got here, I always wanted, you know, I sit in the audience and I said, dang, you know, one day I'm going to get up there and, you know, I got a whole lot to say and it's going to be, you know, real profound and, you know, I'm going to be the coolest fan on the ceiling. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to set it off, you know, but I can only talk about me, you know, and sometimes that can be easy and sometimes that can be hard, you know, but today what I do know is that I'm not trying to deliberately hurt nobody. You know, I'm trying to enjoy life. You know, I love life today. You know, I remember trying to commit suicide and waking up. I remember doing that. You know, taking a whole bunch of pills and not want to wake up because that's how miserable I was. You know, I had no place to go, but I had these kids. You know, but that didn't matter either. So I said, well, God must have saw a whole lot in me to wake me up. Again, you know, if you're new, give yourself a chance, stay here, keep coming back. You know, that's what they told me. They hugged me. People that I did allow to be in my life, you know, they loved me until I could learn to love myself. I didn't want to ever grow up and say that I was an addict, but I have acceptance with that today. You know, that's who I am. You know, but I'm not still practicing a lot of bad behaviors. You know, I'm mindful of things that I say to people, you know, and every day, thank you, and every day it's not easy, you know, but I got to keep practicing. So I hope I help someone, and thanks for letting me share.